I love the juxtaposition of that wonderful, cheerful, uplifting hymn, and then the words of John the Baptist, which are not quite of the same nature. There's a lot of the prophets in this time of preparation in Advent, an ending and a beginning, both a looking backwards and a looking forwards. So this morning we hear from Isaiah and we hear from John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is very much in the tradition of Jewish prophets who are preaching to the Jewish people. And basically what they're doing, they're not delivering. The job of the prophets is not to deliver a new message. The job of the prophets traditionally is to tell people what they already know but don't want to think about, to call them back to the things that are central to what God has called them to be. And so you see in this passage from Matthew today, John the Baptist greets the Sadducees and the Pharisees. These are the leaders of the Jewish people. It's not like they're pagans. It's not like they're evil people. They're good people. They are devoted to God. But what John is saying is, there's something wrong with your faith. Your faith is divided. You know what God is calling you to do, and yet there's some things that you have not given thought to, that you need to address. Jesus makes it clear to the Pharisees, when he's attacking the Pharisees, that, yes, he acknowledges they are followers of the law, of course, but because they have forgotten or they've kind of downplayed the idea of compassion for others, they are imposing burdens on the weak in society that is contrary to God's teaching. So there's something there. Something needs to come back together. Now, as human beings, we're really good at knowing things but not wanting to think about them, right? I know I should clean out my garage. I don't want to think about it. I know I should go to the dentist. I don't want to think about it. I'm just going to think about something else. So what the prophets are doing is really calling people back to what they know and trying to impel them to reflect on that. Because really what the prophets are addressing is the idea of a divided heart. Our hearts, the hearts of the people in John the Baptist's time and in Jesus' time, are going in different directions. And the call is to bring people back to a wholeness of heart. We see this for example, in the encounter that Jesus has with the rich young man. If you remember that story, I'm sure you do. The rich young man comes to Jesus and said, "Master, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Well, you know the Torah, you know the commandments," and he recites them, and the young man says, "Yeah, I do all that." And Jesus says to him, "Okay, well then, what you really should do is to sell everything that you have and come follow me." And the young man gives that a ponder and thinks, "Okay, thanks, but no thanks." His heart is divided. He knows what is right. He knows what is good. Presumably, he's following the law in many respects. But there's something that's getting in his way, and in this case, Jesus discerns that it's that his concern about his wealth, maybe his business, his practical matters, are drawing him away or scattering his attention and his focus and distracting him from being able to follow God completely. And so Jesus diagnoses that and offers him an opportunity. Come follow me, and I will bring you back to focus on God's call. And that's a hard thing, because we don't like to think about hard things. Well, the last time I was up here, I talked about politics and religion. And I want to talk about politics again, but this time I want to talk about the politics of the heart. Because politics is it's a contest of different interests and different ideas, right? In the public arena, different people with different ideas and different interests are trying to work things out and come together and make and work in some kind of concerted way. Well, each of us also has a politics of our own heart. And it's going to be a little bit different for every person. But inside our hearts, inside who we are, there are competing ideas and interests. And we get pulled in different directions. And often these are we're pulled by good things. You know, most of us are not we're basically good people. And there are distractions in our lives that are not necessarily evil, but they're just a way to for us to lose our focus. Most difficult choices in our lives are not the choices between good and evil. Those are pretty simple. The most difficult choices in our lives are the choices between good and good. So, for example, it's the choice, should I buy a new phone or should I just steal one? Okay, that's not a difficult moral decision, yes? The difficult choice is more, should I buy a new cell phone, which I really need, or should I use the money to buy something else that I really need? Or another example, so my best friend is really feeling pretty down these days. So should I take her out to coffee and try and cheer her up? Or should I give her rat poison to put her out of her misery? Okay, that's a pretty straightforward, that's a pretty easy choice, yes? The difficult choice is maybe more like, should I take her out to coffee and try and cheer her up, or should we have a really serious talk about her need to get into therapy? So those are the real choices. For most of us, those are the real choices that we face on a regular basis. For example, you know, it's easy for us to get involved in really important and significant work. And that really important and significant work ends up taking a lot of time and energy. And so maybe then we lose that ability to spend time with the people who are most important in our lives, our families, our spouses, or our children, or our parents. And again, that's not a choice between good and evil. That's a choice between good and good. This happens to those of us who spend time in church all the time. You know, we get involved in really worthwhile projects in church, and they take up a lot of time and energy. And maybe at some point we realize, golly, I just haven't had any time to read the Bible lately, or to spend time in quiet and reflection. Again, not a choice between good and bad, but a choice between good and good. So what Jesus is doing, what John the Baptist is doing, what God is doing, is really calling us to reflect, what's kind of core, what's really central, what are the values and principles that are most important to me in my life? And that's really talking about God's call to us. And God's call is going to be a little bit different for every person. But it's so easy to get involved in things. So someone asks us to do something, or we look at what other people are doing and we think, oh, that'd be a really good thing, I should get involved in that. And then we kind of get stuck in it, and then we can't find a way to get out of it. And meanwhile, there's kind of this nagging feeling, a kind of guilty feeling. I don't feel like I'm quite doing what I'm meant to be doing, but I don't know how to get there. And Guilt's a good thing. Guilt is a way that the spirit is telling us, hey, pay attention to something. There's something you need to take care of here. So Advent, I think Advent is a great season to think about the divided heart, the politics of the heart, and how maybe we can bring some more focus and wholeness to who we are as we see ourselves and as we see God's call for us. So maybe it's a season where we say, you know, I've been doing this particular thing for a long time and it's a good thing and I like it, but it's not central. And I need to set it aside so that I can move on to something different. And that happens, I think, as a process of reflection. So I think Advent, again, and it's ironic because this season of the year is so dang busy. And there's a temptation just to get caught up in all of the business and just kind of go along with the flow of all of the activities. But again, I think the call of the prophets is a call to quiet, a call to reflection, a call to self-examination, and a call to changing our minds. You know, the word repentance in Greek, as it appears in the scriptures, the Greek word just means to change your mind, to change your mind. And that's really what John the Baptist is saying. He's not saying to people, you're fundamentally evil people, or God is going to come and crush you. He's saying, people, you need to think. You need to change your minds. Now is the season. Now is the time. God is coming. And now is the time to change your mind so that you do not have a divided heart, so that your heart is whole. So that's the invitation of this season, to prepare our hearts to welcome the Christ child. Amen.